This is the EWN Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to Idea Success with Sylvia, the place you need to be for the next hour for information and inspiration to turn your dreams into dollars, your concepts into cash, and your ideas into income and impact.
And if you want to get your ideas or help others get theirs into action, you are in the right place for the next 60 minutes. If you need to get out of your head and get things done, then stay tuned for the next hour. Hi, I'm Sylvia Henderson. People call me the Maven of Implementation, and I'm honored that you've chosen to spend your most valuable resource in your life, your time, with me today. This show is about ideas, getting, clarifying, implementing, and supporting ideas. I interview people who've put ideas into action, realized their dreams, achieved their goals, and followed through with their intentions to bring you best practices that you can use right away to actively create your own success. And I interview experts in a wide range of fields who are resources for you to call on to make an income and an impact with your ideas. And today, my guest is exactly the latter, so an expert who can help you communicate and get your ideas out into the world by using your best speaking voice. And my guest is Stephanie Bonte-Lebert. Stephanie, welcome to Idea Success with Sylvia.
Thank you, Sylvia, for having me. I'm so glad to be here.
And let listeners know, since nobody's looking at this, let listeners know why this is important to them getting their ideas out. I just want to say that before we start out that, you know, I talk about getting ideas and figuring out what to do with them, but once we know what we're going to do with our ideas and we're ready to implement them, we have to enlist the support of people to help us get our ideas implemented, because we are not islands in this world. I think somebody famous said that one time. So in order to get our ideas out into the world and get our messaging out into the world, we need to use our voice. Yes, we write. Yes, we do other things too, but our voice is our primary tool, and you're going to be talking about that. So how best to get our ideas out if our voice isn't optimum? And so that's why I asked Stephanie, who is a voice trainer, voice coach for singers and speakers, among many other things that she does, and she'll tell you about that in about a second or two. So that's the point of this program today and why you need to listen. So Stephanie, did I sort of introduce that correctly, and what would you like to
find? Yeah, you said it very well. I mean, it's so obvious, right? If an idea is in our head and we never actually verbalize it, we never actually speak about it with anyone, well, then it's just an idea in our head, right? So one of our primary, and probably I would say our very first communication tool, our most important communication tool, is our voice. This is how we communicate with the world, right? This is before we had computers, before we had email, before we had even books, right? We were using our voice to communicate with other people. So that's really what I do. I help people use their voice to fulfill their passions and their dreams. So
well,
I work with singers. Yeah, go ahead.
I had this vision when you were saying the very first tool. I had this vision that I never had before in my head. I'm picturing out of the womb when they smacked us on our little buns, bumpuses, and the first thing we used to communicate anything was our voice.
Yeah. Right. So we're so used to, like, pulling out our phone and texting people and, like, you know, getting on our email to communicate. But honestly, that isn't nearly as effective as just opening up your mouth and talking to someone directly. And I think in this you know, age of electronics, we've sort of lost track of that on some level. So it's especially with entrepreneurs and with people who have businesses and they're trying to market themselves, right? It's all about having the fancy website and all the cold pools and the email funnels and everything. But in all honesty, my business has been built through my ability to actually communicate with people directly, one-on-one or in groups, because I'm there in front of them, or I'm talking to them on the phone, you know, and that's when I actually make my money and I land my sales. You know, it's not really so much that my website's bringing in the dough. So, I mean, that's
right,
probably
right.
One of the biggest points, like, I want to make with people is don't forget how powerful your voice really is. And the other thing, too,
so
is that it's not just, go ahead.
There's a delay, and I'm sorry, you know, that. One of the things, as you're getting started, I want to make sure listeners kind of know where you come from. How did you, the first thing I usually ask my guests, you know, how did you make voice training, voice coaching your business, and what's your, you know, a little bit about what's your history that brings
sure,
you to this point?
Sure. So a long story into a nutshell is that I'm a small town girl who loved to sing all my life, and I ended up in New York City performing and living in New York, pursuing my dream. And then at some point, I got married, and I moved to Maryland, of all places, and I continued to perform, and I continued to sing, but it was always sort of a side thing. It was always like I had a day job, a 9-to-5, you know, to pay the bills, because I needed that security, you know. I didn't think that I could really make a living with my voice. And an amazing thing happened to me. At the time, of course, I thought it was horrible, but I was laid off in 2010. And I suddenly went into panic mode, and I was like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do to make money? But the reality of the situation was I hated my job. I mean, I was good at it and all that, but I really just was out of my mind bored. And so I decided I just couldn't go back to that again. I just couldn't go back to a 9-to-5 job that I hated. So I started to build my vocal coaching practice. I mean, I always had been teaching people how to sing on the side. You know, I just had a few students in my back pocket that would come to me for voice lessons, for singing lessons. But when I was forced into saying to myself, okay, what is it that I really want to do? You know, I really had to go to my roots and what I have been learning my whole entire life, which is how to use my voice and how to get myself up in front of people and use it in bigger and more impactful ways. So I immediately started building my practice, and I was also performing a lot locally. So I've been performing, I've done a lot of local community theater in the D.C. area. I've also done some professional theater. I've worked at places like Signature Stage, and I love to perform. I absolutely, it's like where my heart just loves to live. And I love to help other people have that experience of being up on a stage as well. So I'm teaching singers, right? Singers are my primary source of income. And I started to realize that, you know, there's something even bigger and greater out there than just learning how to sing. I think the skill that I've been learning my whole life is so translatable to how you interact with people in the world and how you communicate anything that you're passionate about, whether it's singing or whether it's a business that you have. And so I started to work with speakers, too. I mean, speakers have the same needs and desires to be able to get up and share their talents and their gifts that singers do. And how you use your voice for speaking is so similar for how you would use your voice for singing. All the good technique is there. So I started to use my voice speaking instead of just singing. I started to get up in front of groups and speak to groups and tell groups what I do and how passionate I am about the voice. And it immediately started to bring in this side of my business, the speaking side of my business. And speakers started to want to work with me. And I started to kind of change how I was interacting actually in my business, because it wasn't just about teaching kids how to audition for their high school musical, which of course is awesome and fun and I love doing it. But there's a lot more out there than just that. So that's how I've got started and how I am where I am today.
I think it's great to be able to take your passion and turn it into, well, it and pay the mortgage with with some of the results. So that's kind of neat.
Absolutely. It's a lot more fun, right? And I don't feel like I have to get up and go to work anymore. I used to get up and have to commute in DC traffic, right, which is always fun. And you're driving to work and you're like, oh, my gosh, I can't wait till 5 o'clock, right? And that's what I was saying to myself every day. I can't wait till 5 o'clock because then I'm going to go do what I really want to do, which is perform in shows and teach people how to sing. Well, now if I get up in the morning and I'm like, oh, when's my first lesson? When do I get to teach someone? What do I get to do today that's going to be fun and exciting? So completely changed my life.
Great, great. So now I have interrupted you twice as you were about to make a point, and I don't even know if you remember what point you were going to make now. So I'll lead you into something that hopefully brings that back.
I was talking about how, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs are really focusing a lot on their marketing tools, like the website and the email, but they're ignoring their voice. And so I think there's really kind of two reasons why this is happening. And the first is that a lot of people are afraid to use their voice. They have some kind of anxiety about getting up in front of people and speaking. Because honestly, the rejection is a little bit more in your face, right? I mean, it's easy to kind of get over the fact that maybe people aren't opening your email or they're not visiting your website. But when you're talking to someone and you share what you do and they say, oh, I'm not interested, that can feel so much more personal, you know, and like a real rejection, right? So I think people avoid it when they can because they just don't want to deal with what if they don't like me, what if they say no, you know, and so there's that going on. And then the second reason that they're not using their voice to its fullest extent is that they just don't realize how important the sound of their voice really is, how important, what an impact it makes when you actually speak to someone about what you do versus send them an email. And to some extent, actually the quality of their voice, that the quality of their voice actually really does make a huge difference. That you can have vocal qualities that can turn people off and not even realize it. It's not even that, you know, you're burying your head in the sand about it, but you just don't have the awareness that some of the vocal qualities that you may be using are actually not working to your advantage. So I sometimes feel like I have to hit people over the head to get their attention on this, you know, because people are losing thousands of dollars by not maximizing the use of their voice in their business. I mean, I'm just going to tell it to you straight. I mean, that's the truth of it, because your voice is energy. It gives so much information to the listener about who you are and what you stand for, you know, what mood you're in, what kind of energy you have, your personality, whether people are going to like you and trust you. I like to say that your voice says everything and it sells everything. So I just wanted to make that point to people that it's just so important, and I don't think people understand how important it is.
And as much as we are today, well, I won't say we because I am not a texter, but as much as the society today is into texting and messaging and social media posting, when it comes down to real business, we're on the phone, whether it's the mobile phone or whether it's the landline phone. And I remember teaching people when I was teaching communication skills, I wasn't teaching voice per se, but I was teaching, you know, how to communicate. I would say when you're on the phone, that's all people have. They have your voice. The only way they can make a decision or a judgment about you through the words that you choose to use and your voice. So I say, and I still do now, I stand up and either use speakerphone or headset, and so I can stand up and walk around a little bit and flail my arms around and gesture, because all of that energy comes out through me. In fact, while I'm doing the show, I stand up every now and then and gesture like as if you were in front of me. Hopefully that comes through when all you have is your voice.
Absolutely. I mean, it's really important because it adds authenticity to what you're doing, right? We want to be as authentic as possible. So every energy, all the energy in our bodies, all of our thoughts, all of our feelings that we're having, when you speak, it's the physical manifestation of all of that. It's actually coming out of your mouth. And sound, the sound that you create, it's not some like abstract thing. It's actually a physical wave that's touching other people. It's going into their ears and touching them. It's just as impactful as if you were being touched on the shoulder by someone. This isn't, you know, it's so, you know, email is so different. You can ignore email. It doesn't actually, you know, it's not like a physical thing. But speaking, it really is. It's really a physical connection that you're making with people. So I think it's great that you're waving your arms and you're doing whatever you need to do to feel like you're authentic and you're being who you are. And that's why it's going to come through that way to other people.
So if we have a voice of a certain type, I was blessed with a speaking voice, and fortunately I picked speaking as a career in many forms. But if you have a voice that's not conducive to speaking in public, or you have a voice that really is not as effective as it could be, as you were saying, number one, how do you know? And number two, mm-hmm. what in the world do you do about it when it's your voice, it's you? And the person who comes
yeah.
to mind is, this will date me, the Olympic athlete who was a gymnast years ago, Carrie Strug or whatever her name was. And she had the most, this is Sylvia's opinion. She had the most annoying, high-pitched, squeaky voice. And I kept thinking, for the feat that she accomplished in the Olympics, and it was absolutely, truly amazing on a broken foot to win the gold medal, she's going to be speaking probably all over the world about, you know, forging ahead and overcoming odds and all those things that Olympic gold medalists end up speaking about. I thought, oh, my gosh, I would just shrink in the audience if I had to listen to that voice all the time. And a lot of other people have a high-pitched voice or soft. So what do we do about it? How do we know our voice is not as
yeah.
effective as it could be? And then what do we do?
Yeah. Right. Well, you know, it's not always going to be as obvious as that, right? Like, I think of, like, Fran Drescher from The Nanny, how, like, that nasal quality she has when she talks, right? It's like an extreme version of a vocal quality that really can grate on your nerves. Oh, absolutely. She's used that to her advantage. I mean, that's, like, her signature now. So she kind of really turned that around for herself. But a lot of people would say, well, I don't sound like that. So I don't have a problem with the sound of my voice. But it might not be to that extreme, but there could still be things going on that create a negative impression with the listener. So a couple of those, you know, a couple of signs that you might be having an issue with this is if you get vocally fatigued. Do you get hoarse at the end of the day? Do you lose your voice on a fairly frequent basis? Do you feel tension in your throat when you speak for long periods of time? Because that's a sign that you probably have something, some excess tension, something going on. And whenever there's excess tension, whenever there's something that is compromising your voice in some way, you can rest assured that the sound of your voice is not as full or as clear or as beautiful as it could be, and therefore it's not connecting with your audience in the best way possible. So one of the first things I always recommend is to get a recording device and listen to the sound of your voice. Practice your elevator speech. Practice what you're going to say at networking events and listen back to it. What does it sound like? Are you happy with how you sound? A lot of people, when they hear the sound of their voice for the first time, they cringe. They're like, ooh, I sound like that? You know? And
yeah.
they're like, ooh, I'm not sure. You know, it's very personal, right? The sound of our voice is so personal to us. It's like we've identified ourselves with it because we've been sounding that way our whole lives. You know, we've grown up and picked up whatever vocal qualities our family had or our community had. And so now that's part of us, and we don't want to let that go. So I also find, too, that even when people realize that maybe there are some qualities in their voice that they don't like or that they, you know, they acknowledge it, they don't want to change it because they feel like maybe that means they're going to change themselves, you know. And it's so not about that. It's so not about changing who you are. It's really about allowing you to use the tool that you're carrying around with you every day that's inside your body and that can serve you for the rest of your life and maximizing the potential so that you can really connect in with people.
Mm. I like that.
And then the second thing I recommend, so once you've got some awareness about what you sound like and maybe there might be some qualities that you don't appreciate, is that find ways to reduce tension, strain, and overuse. because almost every voice I have ever encountered, and probably I could say every voice I have encountered, has places where it has too much tension and strain. So a lot of the vocal issues, a lot of the qualities can be immediately improved by releasing tension, excess tension. So the way you can kind of do this is first avoid speaking on the in places where you have to kind of force your voice to work overtime. So like, for example, speaking on the phone, make sure that you're using a headset and you're not torquing your neck. That's always a tip I like to give. If you're in a crowded restaurant, Be aware of when you're in that restaurant, you know, how loud are you speaking? People don't even realize how loud they're talking when they've got a lot of noise around them, and that can really tax your voice over time. Even talking on your phone in the car, when you're on your speakerphone, right, we always end up almost yelling when we're in the car on our speakerphone because we've got the car noise. And we've got, you know, we're trying to make sure they can hear us on the other end. And so, and usually most of us have no idea how to do that in a healthy way. Also, like if you're at one of those booths at those expos, right, and you're talking in a booth and you're trying to sell your products, that can be just so tiring for your voice. So you have to really be careful how you're using it in situations like that. What are you feeling? I mean, how does your voice feel? That's, you know, awareness is key. And then after that, there are two big things you can do to immediately improve what your voice is going to sound like and how you can use it. So,
and what are they?
Would you like to know?
Yeah.
So step number one is engage in conscious breathing. Okay, so we all know how to breathe, right? We do it all day long. Most of us never think about it. We just do it because, you know, we have to, right? We don't think about taking every breath when we're sleeping, right? We never sleep.
Right.
So
right.
Good singing and speaking requires that we breathe in a more conscious way. Okay, so we're paying attention to how much air we take in and how we control the use of the air as we exhale. So I want to do a couple exercises together, but before we do that, I want to give you an exercise that you can do later when you get home because it's going to be hard to do when you're on the phone. So you lie on the floor, and you get a big heavy book, like a big dictionary, a couple encyclopedias, if you even have any of those anymore, and you set them on your stomach, okay, and you're lying on the floor. When you inhale, the book should rise up. And when you exhale, the book should lower back down. So it's amazing to me, but this often does not happen for people when they do this the first time. And the reason is because they're carrying so much tension in their abs. Like, especially as women, we're always told to suck in our gut. You know, we're like holding our gut in all the time. And what you have to be able to do is have a more relaxed abdominal structure in the front to be able to breathe well and to have the diaphragmatic breathing, which is what I teach my students. So you want to have a loose abdominal wall. So when that book rises up, your abs are relaxed. And when it comes down, your abs are relaxed. This is how kids breathe. Children breathe like this. And then as we get older, we forget how to do it. And we get tense, and we start breathing higher in the body, and our shoulders start to go up and down. Okay, so concentrate on trying to get your abs to do the work of lifting that book and lowering the book. Then the next step would be, let's go ahead and do an exercise together, which is really going to bring some awareness around another set of muscles that helps you inhale. So your diaphragm helps you inhale, and also your intercostal muscles, so the muscles between your ribs, they really help you inhale because what they do is they expand your rib cage outward in all directions to create space for your lungs to expand with inside them. Okay? So take your hands, and I want you to put them on your hips for a second. And then we're going to just move them up inch by inch until you can get to your rib cage. And I want your thumbs to be in the back, and I want your tips of your fingers to be in the front. So you're feeling a little bit of your back ribs, your side ribs, and your front ribs, if you can. All right?
Well, it all depends on the width of your waist.
Yes, a little bit. But if you just do a little bit, just a little bit to the back side and front, you're doing fine. So, so when you inhale, I want you to feel your ribs push away and out to the sides, front, and back. So So you're really expanding your rib cage out in all directions and feeling a stretch between your ribs. Okay, so let's just inhale and see if we can get those ribs to move. So inhale. And feel a stretch and exhale, relax. So did you feel movement?
Okay, they widened and I guess pushed out a little bit.
Okay, and did it feel lower in your body as you did this versus no shoulder breathing, right? Your shoulders didn't go up and down.
Oh, well, okay.
So do it again. Let's try it again.
Yeah.
We'll bring awareness to your shoulders. Make sure they're relaxed and they're staying down and just your ribs are moving. Okay, so let's try it again. So we're inhaling and stretching the ribs out to the side and release. What did you feel?
Okay. Okay, knowing that my shoulders needed to stay down or relaxed helped some. So yes.
Yeah, good. So now this time we're going to inhale for four counts, and then we're going to hold for two counts. And the holding is really important because this is called suspension. So when you breathe, it's not just about inhaling and exhaling. It's actually about inhaling, suspending, exhaling, and then recovering. So recovering is the place where you relax for a moment before you do it again. So suspending is actually when you're engaging the muscles for inhalation and you're holding them for a second before you start to engage the muscles for exhalation. And actually that is key to having good air support, because what's happening for singing and speaking is that you're really controlling how your air leaves your body. And you can't control how your air leaves your body unless you have the suspension in place. Okay, so we're going to take an inhalation for four counts. We're going to hold and feel those muscles engaged, and then we're going to exhale for four counts so everything's going to relax. Okay, so hands back on the ribs again, and I'll count for everybody. We're going to inhale for four counts. So ready, inhale one, two, three, four. Hold it for one, two, and exhale one, two, three, four. Now, the idea here is that you go ahead and you pace your inhalation for those four counts. Don't just inhale really fast, but pace it all the way through the four counts, hold, and exhale all the way through the four counts. So how'd that feel for you?
That was interesting. It's part of when getting ready to do, well, I don't do yoga, but when I do some relaxation exercises and they do breathe in, breathe out, so I could feel my body relax a little bit. But it also, because I'm not doing it unconsciously yet, I'm thinking as I'm breathing in and out, I'm thinking, okay, ribs expand, stomach out. So I'm thinking about mechanics a little bit too much. But it did feel like
you're overthinking maybe a little. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But if you can feel a stretch, the most important thing is that you're feeling a stretch. You're feeling the ribs stretch out, bend, and then relax. Okay, and so honestly, this is like the first step, but it's a huge step, because once you start to bring awareness to this and you can really inhale and exhale and control it, now you've got power. Now you've got the ability to support your sound all day long and not be taking unconscious breaths that maybe are too shallow or they're not really supporting you in the way they should be. And so this is really like the foundation for everything that comes after it, everything that creates the beautiful sound later. Okay, so you can use this one in practice anywhere, in the car. You know, it's great for relaxing too. I mean, I use breathing as a technique to help with stage fright and anxiety. Because honestly, it can really help calm your heart rate, get you into a more relaxed state. So it's got a lot of benefits. So it's fantastic. So that's step number one. That's like the foundation. And then step number two, to help you in those places where you've got to use your voice all day long, it's all about setting a balanced resonation space. So when I say that, what I mean is, imagine that your voice is an instrument like a trumpet is an instrument, okay? And it's inside your body, and it has an airway, and it has a bell, just like a trumpet has a bell of the horn, right? So the bell of your horn is your throat, your mouth, and your nasal cavities, okay? And it's set up perfectly to give you awesome resonation, okay? Your voice is just like a magical instrument inside you. It's meant to project. It's built to project. So when you're not projecting well, there's a couple things that could be happening. One is you're blocking those resonation cavities off in some way through tension that's closing off the space, or you're placing like your soft palate or your tongue, the tissues that are inside your mouth, you're placing them in such a way that's blocking the ideal resonation that you'd like to have. So imagine like when you have a cold, right, and you're all stuffed up and your nasal cavity is full of gunk and you sound different.
Right.
Right?
Right.
It's because it's taking one of the bells of your horn and it's taking it away. It's like, no, you can't have that one. Right? And that's why you sound different. Okay? So then the other thing too is if you're not using your air effectively to produce the projecting as well, right? That's why we started with the air. So now setting that space, what does that mean to set the space? Well, people don't realize this, but you have control over the space. Unlike a trumpet, which is a trumpet's metal and it's the bell is the bell, right? But for us, we can manipulate the space. We can create different types of resonation, which is why, for example, character actors can have different types of voices. They can sound nasal like this, and they can sound beautiful like this, and they have different ways of using their resonation cavities to do that. So the one that I like to start with, which is always the one where people tend to carry the most tension, and so it tends to be the one that needs the most work, is the throat space, or the space above the voice box, the part of your throat that comes above your voice box and connects to your mouth area. So that when it's tight and tense, like when you're crying, when you're upset and you're crying, what's the first thing that you feel? When you're crying in your body, right?
Oh, goodness.
You feel that tension in your throat, right?
Okay.
It's hard to speak. When you're crying, it's hard to talk, right? Because
right.
you're crying, and everything gets tight inside your throat space, okay? So let's take, like, a breath, like a gasping breath. So it's like a where you can't quite get all the air in. The tube is really, really tiny, okay? So if you take that gasping breath, you're going to feel, like, a tightness in your throat, you know? And then you can talk on that space, and it feels, like, really tight. So just say, hello, my throat's really tight.
Hello, my throat's really tight.
Right. Okay, so now, you take an inhalation that's more of a silent inhalation, more like the beginning of a yawn, okay, and you let that air come in a more silent way, and then you talk on that space, how different that feels. Then I want you to inhale like that and say, hello, my throat's more open.
Hello, my throat's more open.
Yeah, okay. Now, they both sound kind of funny, right? When one sounds like this.
And one sounds like this, right?
They're both kind of funny, but you're changing the space. You are controlling the space.
And
so the key to the exercise is to feel it, feel how different it feels, and to work on the musculature in there so you can feel like you can manipulate it. Because really what we're going for is the centered space. It's a little more open than most people normally think to do, but it's not open like this, but it's a little bit more open than this, which is a little tighter. People tend to close their throat a little bit when they're talking. So if you open up that throat space just a little bit more, you get this warmer resonance when you're talking. You can hear it in my voice. It just kind of got a little bit more open, a little bit more warm, a little bit more, you know, I almost want to, you know, like put a spell on you with the sound of my voice kind of thing. So, that's what you're doing. You're manipulating that resonation cavity inside your throat. So if you can be aware of that during the day and just open it up a little bit, you know, while you're concentrating a little bit more on bringing awareness to your breath, well, suddenly, not only can you talk for longer periods of time, but your resonation qualities will improve. You'll be able to project your voice a little bit more. It'll feel better, and you will sound better. So that's like my magical two-step combination.
Wow. And I'm sitting here thinking that you have just, I don't know if you're aware of it, you've just given us, almost 20 minutes or so straight instruction or straight talking, and you sound just as fresh, just as enthusiastic and energetic as when you started. And a lot of times when people speak for a while, you can almost hear the energy start to drain, or you can almost hear them start to wind down a little bit. So you must be practicing what you've been telling us.
Absolutely. And it's definitely about practicing, and the physical voice definitely needs practice. Just like athletes practice, you know, you practice using your voice in the same way because it is a physical part of your body. But I think the other part of that, the part that's really probably even maybe more important, is that I am really clear about what it is I'm meant to be talking about and how I'm going to be sharing it with the world. And so my passion for this is really helping support me energetically underneath my voice. You know, so, and I think that's really key, and I really work on that with my students too. It's just not about technique. I mean, I give people great technique, and if they practice it, they'll get better, and that's all fine and dandy. But if they've got other things underneath that technique, like fear, anxiety, being unsure, not really knowing what they're meant to do in the world or how they're meant to share their gifts with the world, that can undermine good technique too. So I think, right, you know, I'm just an example of someone who's kind of put both of those things together. And I can speak all day long and have that passion because I'm just really clear. I'm just really clear about that.
Great. Listen, with all this, I was so involved in this that I forgot to take a break, so I need to take about a couple-minute break. We've got maybe 25, 30, if I go over a little bit, and that's okay, minutes to spend left, and so many more questions to ask you. So when we come back, I'd like you to encourage those who aren't planning to be public speakers in front of hundreds. You know, some folks just need to communicate their messages to one other person. So kind of encourage them that what we're talking about is apropos to them, too. And I'd like to compare speaking and singing and maybe a couple of other points when we come back. So just hold on to those thoughts, and we'll be back in a couple minutes.
Great.
You're listening to Sylvia Henderson on the EWN Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who have been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called accelerated networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
You know those money-making ideas in your head that keep you awake at night? And your life-changing thoughts in the shower that dry up after you dry off? Well, it's time to get them out of your head and into action with Sylvia Henderson and IdeaSuccessNetwork.com. Aren't you tired of having all those ideas, dreaming your dreams, setting goal after goal, and putting out intentions, yet still facing challenges to be fully in action? It's time to turn your dreams into dollars, your concepts into cash, and your ideas into income and impact. Enter your name and email address at IdeaSuccessNetwork.com to get tips and strategies for implementing your ideas with Sylvia's Idea Success Notes. You'll also get a bonus thank you gift for doing so. Don't waste another minute. Go to IdeaSuccessNetwork.com now and get your Idea Success Notes for moving your ideas to action.
And we're back, and I'm talking with Stephanie Bonte-Lebert, and we're talking about using your best voice for communicating your ideas. Before we go on, Stephanie, how do people reach you? What do you do for them? Give a little bit of a commercial for yourself.
Well, sure. I have a website. It's called empoweryourvoice.com. So you just go to www.empoweryourvoice.com. And I've got a lot of videos on there, so you can actually get to know me, and I practice what I preach. Video is one of the tools that will help connect you with your audience. You can watch videos there. I've got a lot of programs for speakers, including online programs, so no matter where you live, you can engage in a program with me and learn how to use your voice in a more powerful way. So just check out my website. It's all there.
Great. And so I'm not a traditional, quote, speaker. I'm not speaking to hundreds of people. I just need to talk to my boss. I just need to talk to a couple colleagues or another, you know, or sit down with a finance person or a or my lawyer to go over some information about my idea. Does what we are talking about apply to that also?
Absolutely. I mean, you do not have to be speaking to hundreds or thousands of people in order for your voice to be important. I mean, I wasn't speaking to hundreds and thousands of people when I was building my speaking coaching practice. I was just talking to one-on-one to start with. I mean, and that's really what I recommend that people do. Start with people that you know. Talk about your idea, your business, with your friends and family, people who know you and love you and that you can feel secure with. Listen to their feedback. You know, your idea is probably going to evolve, and you're going to get practice in how to talk about whatever it is that you do and what you want to create. Then you can move out to maybe networking groups. You know, meet other people who have businesses that might complement yours or that have been there before you. Practice your message there. Hone your message. I mean, honestly, every time I go to a networking event, I talk about myself in a slightly different way because I'm trying out different perspectives and seeing what resonates with people. Then you can offer to speak to small community groups when you're feeling that you're a little more secure. You know, you can set up coffee dates with people, too. You don't even have to necessarily be speaking, you know, to official organizations. But you can even, you know, grab like two or three of your friends, you know, and you can all practice for each other. You know, you can take turns pitching for each other and working on your message. Even these baby steps will help to start moving the energy in a forward direction, because the more you use your voice, the more people hear about it, the more they're interested in what you do, and, you know, you'll bring them into your tribe.
When I started thinking about, maybe my voice needs, you know, I've got a good, strong voice, but there are things that could be improved to be an even better speaker, I thought about, I wonder if a singing coach would also be able to help me be a better speaker. So, you know, obviously, yes, because you are both. How are singing and speaking, you know, how is coaching the two different disciplines the same, and are there differences?
Yeah, so singing is really just elongated speech on individual pitches. So speaking has pitch too. We speak on pitches all the time. I mean, everything we do has a pitch to it. Okay, so singing is just slowing it down and staying on a pitch instead of moving through several pitches very quickly. And all the basic technique is exactly the same. In fact, the voice doesn't know the difference between how it's being used for singing versus how it's being used for speaking. It's vibrating and responding to the brain in exactly the same way for both activities. So, you know, an example of how, you know, it really is the same is when singers have problems with their voice speaking correctly. You know, singers can really, you know, not get it sometimes. You know, they'll be beautiful singers, and all of a sudden you'll hear them talk, and they talk completely differently, not using the technique, not using their air, closing their throat spaces, you know, engaging in more tension. And so then when they start to have problems in their singing voice, it's usually because their speaking voice has problems. So they'll start to lose, like, their top notes of their range. They'll, you know, lose their stamina. You know, they'll start having vocal issues. And the reason is we speak so much more. As a singer, I talk way more during the day than I sing. And I sing quite a bit. You know, I'll sing for a couple hours a day sometimes, if not more. But when I'm talking, obviously that's a lot more of my day. So you're practicing and you're doing habits. You're creating habits with your voice when you speak. So it always comes back to tension and lack of consistency for those singers who are struggling, you know. So I teach my speakers some of the same vocal exercises that I teach my singers. Because if those exercises are helping singers get their voice out in a bigger way, of course it's going to help a speaker. It's going to have the exact same effect. So speaking involves pitch. It involves melody. It involves dynamics, being able to speak up or soften your voice. It involves rhythm and pacing and phrasing. Speakers have to think about when they have to breathe. You know, you don't want to be caught in the middle of a word and have to take a gasping breath, right? So the same things apply. And good speakers are also artists, just like good singers. They use their voice to communicate in impactful ways. So, like, imagine what it's like to listen to your favorite singer and how that moves you. right? We can have so much emotion when we hear a song. And that's because singers evoke emotion through their artistry and how they use their voice. Well, the same thing can happen with a good speaker. And as a consumer, a major factor as to whether we purchase something based on how we feel about that person or the product and our emotions around it. I mean, that's just a fact. We buy based on our emotions. So a speaker who can evoke emotion, who is an artist and who can craft a speech in such a way, using their voice as a tool, as a foundation, and laying out all of the presentation skills and the content on top of that, they are the ones who are much more effective at landing the sale.
Great. You know who strikes me, and this will date me a little bit, when you're talking speaking and singing, the singer Jim Nabors, who used to do Gomer Pyle on TV. And
oh,
is,
yes.
Now,
oh, yes. That's right.
Everybody
he has a beautiful baritone voice.
Yes, and then the most god-awful speaking voice as he launched into... I know some of that was exaggerated. However, a lot of his speaking voice was not. It was him. And I thought, oh, my goodness, how could somebody who sounds like that be such a wonderful, beautiful speaker? So,
I think that also goes back to... that, you know, identifying with the sound of your voice, right? And you just, like, you feel like that's who you are when you talk.
yeah. Okay, I want to hit, I'm sitting here thinking, oh, my God, time's flying. I want to really hit on something that I think is really important that differentiates you from many voice coaches, be they singing coaches or speaking coaches. You've told me that you take a holistic view of using our voice. So I want you to talk about that for a few minutes and explain what you mean by that and how that's even better for us to work with than, quote, just training our voices.
Right. So, you know, as I mentioned briefly, you know, I can give you all the best technique in the world, but if you're too scared to use it, you know, if you have anxiety around it, or if you're not clear about what it is that you're supposed to be doing in the world, you know, it's just not going to work. You know, you're not going to be able to put it together. So I like to consider myself, I'm not your average vocal coach. I take a holistic approach. I understand the power of the physical voice, the mental voice, and the spiritual voice, and that they all need to work together in order for you to be your most powerful when you speak. So the time that I spend with my clients is not just about getting a better singing or speaking voice, but it's about developing a skill set that will support you for the rest of your life in so many different ways. It allows you to be a better person out in the world, sharing your talents, your message, changing and impacting lives, having better communication in your relationships. You know, not just always about landing more clients, right? It's also just about your relationships in general, because you're better at representing yourself and expressing yourself and connecting with everyone in your world. So for my speaking clients, you know, I often hear that they want to focus on content and flow and structure to their speeches, but I know from personal experience that focusing on the delivery and also focusing on your big why. Why is it that you want to get up and talk in the first place? I mean, what is it that you have to share with the world? That's your passion. That's the thing that you just have to get out there and be able to say to someone, this is what I do, and this is why I feel it's so important, and this could help you, right? If you don't understand the why behind that, you know, then your passion isn't going to come through. Everything is going to just seem a little too mechanical, too overthought, right? So we really kind of address everything. We address energy management, which is really about, you know, nerves are energy. When you have stage fright, it's energy, right?
Yes.
So
we
tend to think of it as a negative energy, an energy we don't want to have in our lives. But honestly, if you switch your perspective around it and you can get excited about the fact that you have nervous energy, then you can harness it. And you can use it to help you when you're speaking to people. And it's a completely different experience.
I know. I still do when I teach. I say, nerves are butterflies, and your mission is to teach your butterflies to fly information. And
that's nice. I like that. Yeah, there's a lot of tools that, you know, I use to kind of help manage energy. You know, different ways to, you know, harness it, feel like it's there to support you instead of there to, like, take you down.
Right.
You know, and we always imagine, like, the worst case scenario, right? We always picture ourselves getting up there and completely forgetting what to say, you know, or everybody's staring at us with blank expressions on their faces and they're not engaging, they're not raising their hand, they're not smiling, they're not clapping for us at the end, you know. And so we imagine this, and then we wonder, like, when it comes to fruition, why it happened. Well, of course, you know, if you're focusing on it, you know, you're going to kind of sabotage yourself. So there's techniques to be able to focus on creating the positive outcome. Focus on what you want to have happen. Imagine yourself standing up on that stage and everyone is excited to be there. Everyone's engaging with you and answering your questions, and they're coming up to you afterwards and telling you how fabulous you did. And that's just a different energy when you put yourself in that place. You know, I literally visualize that before I speak to people. I visualize people coming up to me and saying, I love your energy. And I have to tell you, it happens all the time. People come up to me and say, I love your energy. And it's because that's my intention. I set my intention to have that happen. And setting your attention ahead of time is key. It's so key to having a good performance. In fact, one of the really the big things I teach is, how do you create a warm-up routine for yourself? How do you create something that sets you up to succeed? And there are steps that you can take before you get up on that stage or before you meet somebody for a coffee date that you can really do to set your energy in the right direction and to be clear about what you want to say, and then to have that conversation go really, really well when you get there. So that's the other part of what I teach. You know, it's not just about how to project or how to breathe or how to use your actual voice. It's really a whole package.
So that's exactly what Olympic or any athlete who excels does for themselves. I'm struck by, when I watch the Olympics, how a skier, you see them with their eyes closed standing at the top, and they're moving their head and they're moving their body, and they say they are quite literally visualizing themselves and feeling their muscles and feeling the placement of their skis and the poles and the whole bit in their heads as they're going down the slope before, as they prepare to actually do it. So you're talking about basically that same thing. The physical is the physiology that you've been talking about most of the program, about your voice. But the mental, I gather, is the visualization and the mindset. And then the spiritual, I'm going to say, is knowing your why. Did I get that right?
Absolutely. That's absolutely right. And there are warm-ups you can do for all three areas. So we've got the physical warm-ups, which, you know, are very clear. I create very clear physical warm-ups for people to use and to practice. Right. And then we have warm-ups for the mind. You know, things that you can do to get yourself thinking about, what do I want to talk about during this particular presentation? What are my three major points that I want to make sure my audience takes away? How do I want my audience to feel when they leave? You know, that's a key component because, again, sales is based on emotion, right? If they're not feeling you, if they're not excited about you, they're not going to buy from you. They're not going to work with you. They're not going to trust you, right? You want to set up the intention of how do you want them to feel. And then spiritually, what are you here to do? What is your passion? Why is it important to you? What are you doing it for? And it could be something, it doesn't have to be mind-boggling. It could be something very simple like, I want to provide for my kids. You know, I want to make sure that I have a life where my husband and I can go on vacations and we can spend quality time together. And that's why I'm doing this business. Because when you're clear about the reason why you're doing it, then you can have more courage to get up and do it too, because you're motivated. You're like, you know, sometimes we've got to talk about something we're not excited about, maybe, right? It's like maybe you work for a company that's making you talk about something, right? So, but if you're still connecting in with your why, you can still bring that energy to it. You can still bring the, I'm doing this because we're going to Hawaii next year, you know? And so this is why I'm going to do this. And that can still just change the energy in the room, right? It doesn't have to be, you know, like, I am here to, you know, reach 5 million people in the next 5 years, you know?
That's, I love that holistic. I love that whole person. I don't know that I thought consciously about that when I speak, but however, I will now. We're coming to a close in the program, and like I said, I've got a few more minutes. There's one other question, main one anyway, I wanted to ask, and then I'll see if you have any final words to leave listeners with. Sometimes we are not aware of the impact and the effect that our voices have on someone. And I don't just mean the words that we choose, but I mean our voices. Like, sometimes we rub people, we might rub somebody the wrong way, or the reverse. We totally get them psyched about something, but we're not sure, you know, we don't realize how we impacted them. What's that all about?
Well, it's a combination of what does your physical voice sound like, and then what's the intention behind it. So even if our intention is positive, right, even if we go into a situation and we mean well, but somehow it doesn't work out that way, the person is feeling, you know, like they're not getting you in some way. Some of it could be on them. I mean, obviously, you know, there are things that we can't control, you know, their own belief systems and things that they're going on in their mind. But it could be that your physical voice itself is giving off some key indicators that subconsciously the listener is associating with a negative effect. Okay, and there have been studies done that actually show that some vocal qualities have a negative effect on the listener and give a perception that may not be true. For example, vocal fry. So vocal fry is this thing where it's like a popping in the voice. We can hear the vibration of the chords because they slow down and it comes off on the ends of your sentences, okay? So studies have been done around women who have this quality in their voice. And this quality creates a negative impression in the listener. They think that they're uneducated, they're not serious, and can affect whether or not, for example, they're hired for a position. And it's not something that people are saying to themselves, oh, this person has vocal fry, I'm not going to hire them. It's really a subconscious thing where they're hearing their voice and they're saying, I'm not sure I trust this person. I'm not sure this person is really the right fit for me. So that could be one scenario. And the other scenario is, are you really clear about what your intention is when you go into a situation? Are you clear about the fact that you want that person to feel really comfortable? Because if you're not completely clear and if you're not completely centered on what your point is that you want to make, you could inadvertently say things in the wrong way, with the wrong inflection, with the wrong tone. And so that can get you kind of in a situation where you've got a mismatch in your communication.
It's fascinating to me. The there was a TV, you know, I'm used to the visual. There was a TV show, I don't know, a couple of years ago about the micro actions of your face, the micro signals that your face gives off. I can't think of the name of the show. I know one just went off called The Mentalist. He did the same thing where you could actually look at someone and when you're face to face, you can tell whether they're lying or not. I think it's called Lie to Me, actually, the show. I'm fascinated with that because as a visual communicator, where I am most of the time in front of someone, I hadn't thought about what it is they do that communicates the perception that I have, or that creates the perception that I have. But I realize now it is those micro movements. What I'm hearing from you is that our voice also has micro signals that tell us whether we're being congruent or not, or whether we're being caring, or whatever other words you want to use. So that's fascinating to me.
Absolutely. And it's so true. And sometimes it's obvious and we can tell, right? It's like when you come into like that used car salesman approach and their voices are like really going up and down a lot. So when you have too much melody and too much inflection, it can come off as completely inauthentic. Like the, you should buy this now. This is the best thing that I've ever purchased, right? And that's completely like, you might even consciously go, whoa, totally a salesperson. Like, don't want to go near that, right? But
and
it can also be more subtle.
Then there was that guy, who was who unfortunately died a few years ago, who used his voice in that manner when he sold, was it OxyClean or something like that?
Yes, it was the OxyClean guy. You're absolutely right. Yeah. You're absolutely right. Right, and we associate, the salesperson with that type of a voice. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So, and the other thing that comes to my head before we wrap up here is the, you know, I was born and raised in a black church, and the minister, there's a cadence and there's a sound that a lot of I'll call them old school ministers use, and they're really into it and the kind of a sound. And every time I hear that kind of cadence, I go, aha, preacher.
Yeah. It's like infusing music into speaking. That's what that is. This is a rhythm, a cadence,
yes,
a way of phrasing it, right? And it has an inflection to it. That's exactly what we do when we're singing. We get
right
into the rhythm of the song. We get into the inflection of the song. And so it's almost like combining the best of both worlds together when you get those great preachers that just have that way of drawing you in and keeping you, you know, in tune. And honestly, you know, the musical side of your brain, when you combine it with the other side of your brain, the logical side of your brain, then that's when you get people really engaged, right? You're using both hemispheres, right? And that's another part of being an artist as you're a speaker, you know, being able to have that quality, really putting it all together to really captivate the audience.
So we need to wrap up. Fortunately, I always program these shows to last a few minutes over time. What last parting words do you want to leave listeners with about the importance of what we've been talking about, and how do we reach you again?
Yeah, so I would just really want to say to people, no matter, you know, what you do for a living, whether you're a speaker or not, you know, how you use your voice, how you use it to communicate with people, it's a tool that you're going to have with you the rest of your life. Take care of it, protect it, use it. Find someone. It certainly doesn't have to be me. I can't possibly teach everyone in the world anyway. But find someone to help you hone your skills, work on your voice, and start with a baby step. If you're afraid to do it, all you have to do is take a little baby step. You certainly don't have to get up on stages right away. Even a baby step will immediately start to create the energy that you want in your business, and it will start to snowball very, very quickly. And so, yeah, how you can reach me, my website, www.empoweryourvoice.com, all one word. And I would love to, you know, have a conversation with you if you're interested in finding more about my programs. I always offer a free consultation. So you can go on my website and fill out an application, and I will contact you to set that up.
And while you can't possibly coach everybody in the world, sure would be nice to try, huh?
Sure, you know, I would love to have like a few more of me to go around.
Stephanie, thank you so much for being on the show today. And I know the listeners, you know, they probably heard some things that they really hadn't thought of in terms of communicating, because most communication skills programs focus on the structure of the message and, you know, some of the mechanics of delivering that message. But I seldom hear about the actual speaking voice and how that influences the effectiveness of communicating our messages about our ideas, because sometimes we've got ideas that even we may think are crazy, and we have to communicate those ideas to other people so that they don't think we're crazy. So this is great.
So true.
So thanks a lot for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, Sylvia. It was really a pleasure.
And we will see you, for everybody listening, same dot time, same dot location for the next show. Thanks for joining me.
That wraps up another hour of Ideas Success with Sylvia, with information and inspiration to turn your dreams into dollars, your concepts into cash, and your ideas into income and impact. Join me next week, same dot time, same dot channel, same dot number, for another episode of Ideas Success with Sylvia.